the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados 92.9 FM. You can call us at 434-1790. You can drop us an email at cricketmason@yahoo.com. Well, going into the fourth day of the last test match, the West Indies versus Sri Lanka, there were visions of glory. The West Indies having been all out for 93, and by the end of the third day's play, had Sri Lanka on the back foot at 81 for 5. And many thought that the West Indies would have gone on to one. But two Pereiras got together and ensured a victory for Sri Lanka. You know what? The West Indies got rid of Mendes very early, and they would have been looking for victory. That did not happen. And we want to congratulate the Sri Lankans on a victory that, in my view, having been bowled out for 154, replying to 204 made by the West Indies, I thought the difference came when they bowled extremely well to restrict the West Indies to 93, and then that 144 to get. Despite being in a spot of bother, I thought they batted with energy, they batted with commitment, with character, and it was a performance worthy of commendation. And I would say, having done all the test matches from Trinidad and Tobago right to Barbados, it was a fair result. Because to be honest with you, when we look at the test match in St. Lucia, I thought the West Indies were under tremendous pressure and they might have been saved by the rain. That's all conjecture. What's reality is that as we end this very exciting series with bouncy pitches, it's one to Sri Lanka and one to the West Indies. Good evening. I'm Andrew Mason and welcome to Mason and Guest. We've got a very special guest in the studios. I almost didn't make it, but thank God the traffic was not heavy as I traveled from the beautiful Hilton. Roshan Amasinghe is in the studios. Good evening to you. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Andrew. Indeed, I'm privileged. It's a pleasure to be here. Good evening to everyone joining us.
Indeed. Okay. You've been covering the series on television. Give us your overall assessment of the series.
Well, I think you said it was a fair reflection, and I tend to go with you on that, simply because, the Indies always had the home advantage, playing at home, and they had the faster bowlers, the pitches were more conducive to their type of bowling. Let's not forget from where Sri Lanka comes. Sri Lanka comes from a more spin-friendly nation, where the pitches are low and pitches are a little bit brown in colour. So these conditions were obviously going to be very foreign to them. And considering the controversies that happened during the tour with Angelo Matthews leaving because of his second child's birth, which is ever so sudden, Lahiru Kumara getting injured, and then you come to the second test, it becomes a very forgettable test match, considering that the Sri Lankan captain was accused of ball tampering, and then he gets suspended for a game, and then you bring in a new captain. And then in the middle of the game, or towards late yesterday, you very nearly lose your opening batsman. So I don't know what more worse could happen or could have happened to Sri Lanka. So stemming from that position, to come back and win this game and draw the series is a tremendous performance. I mean, by any stretch of imagination. So I think it's a very fair reflection of the strengths of the two sides.
I agree with that. Let's look at the test match that was recently concluded. In fact, only today concluded in Bridgestone. Where did you think the West Indies lost it? Or conversely, where did Sri Lanka win it?
Well, let me put it this way. I really thought that Sri Lanka will lose it because I felt that the 50 runs in the first innings was decisive. And I also felt that there were two, to me, there were two critical moments in the match involving Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. That is in a negative sense. Mm-hmm. That is in the first innings, Kusal Mendes was batting so well with Danushka Gunatilaka, and suddenly after the break, he plays one of the most horrendous shots. Mm-hmm. And I felt that that was the little opening the Windies wanted. And 70 for 2 became 70 for 4, 99 for 5, and eventually folding up for a little over 150. And in the second innings, again, when Sri Lanka needed stability at the top, knowing that they weren't sure whether Kusal will play or not, Danushka Gunatilaka, after looking so good, the shot he attempted, mm-hmm. looking to hit holder off the very first ball he bowled, I thought was a huge error and could have very nearly cost the match for Sri Lanka, because it's that kind of a surface. You know, you're never in on that surface, as far as I'm concerned, if you're a batsman, because mm-hmm. you would see that the ball was flying around, it was nipping around, no batsman looked comfortable, almost every batsman edged, there was not a single batsman who would have batted with confidence. So you need to go on with the people who are in. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, Danushka Gunatilaka was in and he threw it away. But what Kusal Perera didn't do today was just that. Mm-hmm. He got in, came in at a very difficult time, struggled and did not give it away. So those were two decisive moments of the game that very surprisingly didn't work adversely. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, I felt that the little session before the break, mm-hmm. when the Windies lost 3 wickets, mm-hmm. was just what Sri Lanka wanted. Mm-hmm. They needed an inspiration, they needed the momentum, and they had it. And I thought, from there on, nothing seemed to go right for the Windies.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about day-night cricket? Do you like day-night cricket, Roshan?
Well, I don't know whether it's about liking or disliking, but it appears to be the way forward now, mm-hmm. because cricket is dependent on television. Mm-hmm. A lot. So you need to get into the prime viewing time of people, and then they also need to have spectators coming. Mm-hmm. So it's a different challenge, isn't mm-hmm. it? I mean, but one thing good about day-night, Andrew, is that we have had 10 test matches so far, mm-hmm. and all 10 have yielded results. Mm-hmm. So at least from an excitement point of view, mm-hmm. at least in terms of interest, mm-hmm. at least for people who want some spiced up action, I think day-night cricket might be the way to go.
Mm-hmm, indeed. And your experiences in the Caribbean from Trinidad and Tobago, we had plots of roti, put on a bit of weight last I saw you right there in Rodney Bay, I saw you. And yeah. then here in Bridgetown at the Posh Hilton. Well, you must have been enjoying the Caribbean. You're going to buy some land as well?
Well, I must say I have enjoyed the Caribbean immensely. This is one place that I always wanted to come and I always look forward to, because I've heard so much about the Caribbean. Mm. And I had the great opportunity and pleasure to go on a nice cruise just a few days ago in Barbados. Yes. And I have no complaints. No. I've been very well looked after. I've met some wonderful people. Mm-hmm. And the country, in terms of temperature and geography, looks very close to Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka itself has a lot of beaches, but bigger. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of sad to leave.
Mm-hmm, indeed. Doctor, were you on that cruise with Roshan?
No, he wasn't.
Unfortunately, I missed the cruise.
Yes.
And I'm glad he enjoyed our hospitality and all the island has to offer. But a very exciting test match. You know, the pitches in the West Indies, you know, they were bouncier. We enjoyed that. But the ball swung and it seamed. And it was a real match for an exhibition of fast bowling. And I think that's one of the aspects that Sri Lanka excelled at, especially in the second innings. Sri Lanka had only 3 seamers and all 3 of them contributed. And I think one thing that let us down was that we only had Roach and Holder in the second innings, and one of the other seamers or both would have had to contribute. Mm-hmm. But definitely the glaring difficulty with the West Indian team in this match and throughout the series turned out to be the top 5 batsmen, just mm-hmm. not doing well at all. I mean, mm-hmm. we can look at Powell, who had just a moderate series with maybe just 160-odd runs, but the top 5 never contributed, and most of our runs throughout the series came from the lower order with Dowrich and Roach and Bishu and Holder, and certainly it says that we have a lot to do. And the other deficiencies that were shown up in our young team, which we definitely can improve on, was the catching. Mendes caught very well for Sri Lanka, and that made a difference. He was at second slip, and most of the time he would dive in front of first slip to take those catches that wouldn't have made it to first slip. And in our case, a lot of balls fell short, and no one put in that effort to dive in front to collect the ball. And also we dropped some easy ones. And then there were the no balls and the wickets off for no balls. So definitely we know what our areas that we have to concentrate on are. But all that being said, I'm pretty pleased with the effort of the team. I mean, working with against a stronger team in our home conditions, we were competitive, we looked good, and there was a lot of spirit and unity. So all in all, I think all the individuals that were would have been pessimistic prior to the series can still see something to be proud of, you know, during the entire series.
Pearson, your assessment of it all?
Hi, good evening, and good evening to all you and the student listeners. I want to first give Sri Lanka a lot of credit for coming through this series, having the challenges that they did. I mean, losing their three main players. I mean, Shah Damal in the last test, Angelo Mafros early, and also Hirath. And it showed the character that they had. You know, we also must remember, Sri Lanka were not playing home. They were playing away from home. So to come through it with the challenges that they had, I want to give them kudos for that. I believe that both teams are pretty evenly matched. But in terms of the batting, it is difficult to assess the batting of both teams, given that I believe the pitches were predominantly suited to the bowlers, especially the seam and fast bowlers. And it was not as evenly distributed in terms of the pitch, one against the other. It tested your technique, your temperament, and so on. And both of these are young teams. And we have gone through this challenge whenever we have pitches to play on as a West Indies team, which provide bounce and seam and movement and challenge to your technique. Nevertheless, there were some performances from both teams that were commendable. I believe that Chand Damal looked an outstanding player, given the conditions which he had to bat on in terms of the pitch. There were some guys at the top of the Sri Lanka order that looked the part, but I found that they were over exuberant at times. When they got in, they played very loose shots, and they put the team back into that system and that position where you had them to consolidate again. They couldn't press on. Similar to the West Indies team, the top order was woefully lacking. Shea Hope and Braffitt and Devlin Smith. I mean, there are a lot of question marks about Devlin Smith at this stage of his career anywhere. I believe it's the last time for him. And you had a situation where Chase didn't get going, but Dowridge and Holder, and to a lesser extent, Bishu and Roach, they came to the party in terms of the batting. They batted sensibly, and they showed what you can achieve with fight and grit. In terms of the bowling, well, we saw for the first time, I believe, the real elevation of Shannon Gabriel as the spearhead of the attack. Because even though he had the pace for 2 or 3 years, he was never the spearhead of the attack. Someone else always spearheaded the attack because he was never consistent. But his bowling has improved. He was a more consistent bowler this time around. His actions seem to have been changed a little bit. I don't know who's working with him. Maybe you now have Corey Collymore, but he didn't start with Corey Collymore. You also had Roddy Esper, if you remember, just before Corey. But his action has changed a little bit. He's not a little bit. He's not leaning back that much as he is about to deliver. He's more. He has now that projection of the body leaning forward a bit more. And his consistency in terms of pitching the ball and delivery. And then also, there are a lot less no balls from Shannon Gabriel than before. In terms of Cummins, I think that Cummins, remember I had concerns before the series started about his fitness level. And I thought when we had spoken to the chairman of the selectors and also some persons around the West Indies saying that we were probably rushing him back a bit too soon because he was, you know, someone nursing an injury. And I thought that Kimor Paul, once he was fit and available, should have been the person to fast track into the team given his exuberance and where he's at and his form. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, there's a series coming up, and I'm sure that that will be redressed. Oh. But certainly an outstanding series from the point of view of interest. You couldn't look away. Or no team could say at any time they had the ascendancy, there was always something there in terms of the bowlers, finding something on the pitches that would always keep your interest in terms of batting and make sure that and ensured that you had to fight and actually bring your batting technique to the table.
Okay, well, an assessment there from Pearson. You can send us your WhatsApp messages. Of course, if it's overseas, it's 1-246-253-4679. In fact, I've already got one says, "Hi, Andrew. You and your team did a great job as always doing ball-by-ball commentary. It would be nice if you can organize a curry goat goodbye match for Smith and Cummins." You think that's a bit harsh, you think? A curry goat match. Indeed. Can we take a call? Hello. Welcome, first call. Hello. Yes. Welcome, Mason and guests.
Gotta get a goat.
Yes, good evening, Andrew.
Good evening to you, Randolph. How are you?
Not too bad, and good evening to your Sri Lankan...
Roshan. Yeah? Yes.
Hello, good evening. Lovely good to evening. Have you.
Yeah, thanks. And to your to Ms. Dr. Ford and my good friend there, Bavel.
Yeah, hi, Randolph.
Mr. Bavel, you're a Combomerian?
Yes, I am.
Oh my goodness! You're not going to greet us now. Oh my golly!
But you have Dr. Ford as well.
Yes.
Yeah. And our producer as well.
Oh my goodness! No, Andrew, I'm not. You know, you have to put in a little joke by the side.
Oh, yeah.
Now I must say that this afternoon, Andrew, in the cricket thing, now I think that the North now has come to the party from Alexandra. Now, if you look from a bowling aspect, I understand that Corey Cullimer is the bowling coach, isn't he?
Yes.
Series.
And he's a Alexander boy, isn't he?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that the bowlers did a fantastic job. He got Roach there from Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And to the home of champions, Andrew, I think that the best thing that you have done where cricket is concerned, is to have the youngster from the home of champions as the cricket analyst.
Oh, yes.
It was a breath, more than a breath of fresh air. It was fantastic. I must say, I enjoyed immensely listening to his comments.
You're talking about Jamal Smith?
Yeah, Jamal Smith.
The word.
I thought that it was fantastic, Andrew,
Yeah.
That's my club.
Mm.
But I thought he brought a lot, something to the program that had been lacking by other persons. Well, when I say that, I'm not a butcher. You know, butcher is great already. We know that butcher is very much there on the ball.
Mm.
But he had good comments coming from the guy from I almost said St. Andrew.
Vinod Manchan from Trinidad and Tobago, yes.
Trinidad, right.
Mm.
I must say it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I also, now I enjoyed listening to East Money's very good in his
analysis. He's a statistician, yes.
Yeah, I thought he was very good. And the Guyana / Trinidadian.
Bridge Powers enough.
Oh, he's something else. But Jamal. I mean, that's fantastic. Andrew, I think you're going to be in trouble.
Well,
I've got a pension plan for Andrew.
well, I should be because I selected him.
Well, I mean that you might be losing your pick.
Well, in fact, I introduced him to the local cricket recently. From the very first time I heard him, I knew that he was going to be good enough to do test cricket. So hence, as the producer, I invited him to be very much a part of the panel, and he did very well.
Yeah.
I think he's got tremendous. In fact, I'll say to you that having selected commentators for quite a long time, and by the way, I would have certainly had a hand in Ian Bishop, because I remember the days when Ian Bishop was doing for 610. I did, in fact, recommend Ian Bishop. Mm. And, you know, of course, you're talking about someone like a Hendy Wallace.
Yeah.
I'd suggest to you that he's the best I've heard as a young commentator since Hendy Wallace. Hendy, I think he's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
I think he's got a good future.
And what I liked about what transpired during his three nights there,
right,
that he talked about what was going on in the middle.
In the middle.
It had nothing to do with what somebody tell him, how good he would be, be a good wicket keeper, or what the case may be.
Right.
And, you know, that, I was very impressed with him. And I must also say congratulations to Shane Dowridge. And he really did put in a determined and a gutsy performance in batting.
Well, in fact, he made 288 runs, highest of 125, averaged 57.60. But interestingly enough, in terms of the bowling, Shannon Gabriel bowled 88 overs and 4 balls, 15 meters, 299 runs, 20 wickets, best of 8 for 62. I'm going to go to Roshan now. You think it would have been difficult in picking the player of the series? Would you have gone with Dowridge or would you have gone with Gabriel?
No, I would have gone with Dowridge, simply because Dowridge was the one who made the Windies win that first test.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to be, and he was consistent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Gabriel was good. I mean, there was no doubt about it. I wouldn't take anything away. Maybe very little to choose between the two. But if you look at the contribution, the decisive contributions, right? The game that he decisively contributed, the Windies won.
Mm-hmm. Had the greatest impact. Yeah.
Yes. Now, when Gabriel got 13 wickets, I take nothing away. 13 wickets against any opposition in Test cricket is a massive achievement.
Mm.
But that was a game the Windies were fighting with their backs to the wall.
Yep, indeed. Mm.
You see, so...
I do, sorry to cut there, but as I park, I would hope, and this is just a Jamal now, and this is not about a commentary, I hope after the sterling performance that he would have given me in these 3 days, that 43-day tournament, that he would rub off in the 3-day tournament coming up shortly.
Mm. Thanks.
So, thanks, and I will continue to listen.
All right. Thanks to you, Randolph. This is one of our callers. He calls all the time. We call him Randolph. Okay. The question I've got from near and from far, from Kingston, Jamaica to Georgetown, Guyana, is this the end of the road for Devon Smith? I shall endeavor very slowly to read his stats. Roshan, put your glasses on here. We could cut right down the line. By the way, this broadcast is also going to our friends at Real FM there in Grenada. In the 3 matches, Mr. Smith batted 6 times, 91 runs, a best of 61, and I'll do this very slowly. His average 15.16. He could be in trouble, Roshan.
Well, I think he is. Because, to be honest, I mean, look, he's 36. He has contributed to Indies cricket.
Mm.
I don't want to, you know, look at him in a sense and make him feel embarrassed. You know, he's done his bit. He can't be a bad player. Otherwise, he can't be there.
Mm.
But the fact is that his technique, sadly, that he's been brought upon, that he scored all his runs in first-class cricket, was found wanting.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, you know, I never ever look down upon any player, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's a very thankless job. Let's remember that. But having said that, I do agree that Devon Smith, you know, needs to take a step back and allow someone else to come in. Because we all found out television is easy to analyze techniques other than radio.
Mm.
Because you have so much of support, and we looked at him, his reluctancy to play forward, his forward movement where he's always on the move. He doesn't have a solid base when he plays forward. And even when he's on the back foot, that LBW, I thought he was on the move, not the LBW, the bold. So there is a clear deficiency that bowlers, international bowlers, have an opportunity to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I think Devon Smith will struggle.
I think. Let's go and take a call, can we? 4341 78. Of course, if you're calling from overseas, 1246. You can also send us a WhatsApp message, 1246-253-4679. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Good evening, Andrew.
Good evening to you.
Good evening to the panel.
Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening.
Andrew, I'm listening to you, and one of the things Roshan mentioned just now is home advantage.
Right.
I could not believe in my wildest dream.
Mm-hmm.
We were going into the final test match in Barbados, and we prepare a track to favor Sri Lanka, who has 3 fast bowlers, in my opinion, and this is my opinion, what I have seen of them seems much better than the West Indies fast bowlers on that track.
Mm.
And it is simple. I mean, we can be playing home, and we're not gaining the home advantage. We go overseas to South Africa, we go to Australia, we go to the subcontinent, and when we go to those areas, the home teams have the home advantage, and they prepare the wickets to suit their bowlers and the team. Now, I'm saying to you...
Can I interrupt you, sir?
Go straight ahead.
Yeah, right. Now, you were complaining that the pitch prepared is in favor of Sri Lanka. Right, all right. I wouldn't argue with you on that, though I would beg to differ. But tell me, what kind of surface do you think the Windies should have prepared?
No, well... You stopped me in my chat, so I was going to make the point.
Oh, okay,
all
sorry.
I'm saying that we were going into this final test match leading 1-0 in the series. When you look at the makeup of the West Indies team, we could have shortened our batting by not playing the leg spinner, who bowled one over in the game, put in an additional batsman in the side and prepare a batting paradise. We were leading 1-0 in the series. All the West Indies had to do was to draw the test match or win the test match, we win the series. This is one of the, in my opinion again, Roshan, this is a very poor Sri Lankan side.
Poor?
I don't know whether poor is the right word, but it's not an exceptional side. It's an average side that can do
you
better.
You won't go with the word average, I go with the word poor.
Yeah.
You lose two of your best batsmen. So obviously, I think it was a poor batting side. Sri Lanka came out of St. Lucia with a lot of controversies surrounding them in the test match. And I'm just asking the authorities in West Indies cricket, we have to look and make sure that we gain an advantage. Home advantage all over the world in any sport is a dominant fixture once you're playing home. And we don't use it at no time at all. Last year we came up against Pakistan,
right?
Playing home, and our home advantage, we did not utilize it.
Roshan, I got a question for you and for you to call as well. The West Indies won the toss and they chose to bat. Did that surprise you, Roshan?
No, it didn't surprise me at all because the surface didn't change. The West Indies did get a lead in the first innings. So it was justified. You see, this, you got to understand, this pitch or this test match was going to be a pink ball test match. Right? So you were always going to get these conditions. And you were always going to get the ball moving around. Now, in terms of... to the advantage of the Windies. Now, I mean, I must tell the gentleman who's on the line that Sri Lanka is a country that has brown surfaces, brown pitches, and we have never handled the high bouncing ball. So this was absolutely foreign, and you would have seen how many of the Sri Lankan batsmen are struggling. So I really didn't see how this helped Sri Lanka by giving a surface like this. But only thing that I would agree with you, yes, Bishu could have been an option to be left out because you got Roston Chase who could bowl some off spin. And what I think the problem was for the Windies was that they were a bowler short because Cummins wasn't really up there. And the Sri Lankan seamers were more consistent. So, see, in terms of performance, the consistency level was better. But I don't think Sri Lanka had any advantage on that surface over the Windies. That's my view, but I respect what you say. I'm sure you got a very strong point.
I'll go back to the next point. You now said watching a player on television or the computer is different. I'm analyzing this player on radio commentary. We came out of New Zealand, and it was all over the world through the cricketing vine. All players did not play the sharp ball well. We came and give you bouncy tracks. There's no way we come into play.
Sri Lankans don't play the short ball well either. You saw how many batsmen defending and getting hit on the helmet, getting caught in the slips. Angelo Matthews got hit straight in the first test, Sri Lanka's best batsman.
At the end of the day, you won the test match, so you played it better than us.
That's the thing. It is about how you played and winning little important moments of the game. But I certainly don't agree that this pitch helped Sri Lanka or favoured Sri Lanka more than the Windies.
Well, I don't think it was a good test wicket. 40 wickets fell for less than 600 runs in a test match. So, in my opinion, I don't think it was a good test wicket.
That point is a strong point of yours. I would want to argue.
Roshan, how do you assess the pitch in Barbados?
Well, I think it's a pitch, honestly, good players would have scored runs. And we have spoken about how Test cricket has been so weighted in favor of batting. And I believe that Test cricket needs games to be more evenly balanced.
Right.
And pitches need to be spiced. Otherwise, I mean, I can give you endless examples, which I don't want to take time on. But it's weighted so much heavily towards batsmen. To me, I would rather watch a Test match with this kind of action than watch 500 plus and a 600 plus and a tame draw. So we got to decide between which one we want. But striking the right balance is important. I do agree that this pitch was doing a little bit too much. But
it favored the bowlers. I mean, and the scoreboard would suggest
that. Considering the batting available, but if you had real class batsmen, I'm sure they would have got runs on this.
How do you assess the pitch at the Queen's Park Oval in Trinidad?
Good pitch.
Very good pitch. And in St. Lucia?
Well, I didn't see anything wrong. I think it was a perfect test pitch because you had a lot for the batsmen. You also had something for the bowlers. The issue here was the batsmen hardly had anything while the bowlers had almost everything. So that's why I think most people could say that this pitch is not good.
Okay, thanks for your contribution. I think we got a call coming in from Canada. Hello, good evening. Welcome to Mason and Guest. Hello.
Good evening. Good evening.
Yes.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Oh, my God. It's almost the end of the year, caller.
It's middle of the year for me.
Happy New Year to you, caller.
Yes. I want to say what happened there is the selector's fault. It's not the player's fault.
It's the selector's fault.
You play Cummins. Cummins wasn't getting anybody out.
Right.
You bring the guy from Paul Kinata all the way from Canada, all the way from England, and you leave him out. Right? Cummins was then getting in money out. Bashir was then bowling. As the caller said before, you should have leave Bashir out, play another batsman, and leave him out and play Paul. We cannot continue. You know what? I'm sorry to say this, but I have to say, West Indies cricket cannot go forward unless the selectors change the policy. I'll tell you why. We got bowlers cannot be playing as a passenger. We had a lot of passengers on that tour.
Passengers? What do you mean by that, caller? What do you mean by passengers? Explain that.
Because it's simple. They're not doing the job.
They're not doing the job.
Everybody says, how good you commentate. If you don't commentate, you're out of the job. Come and play the last test match. You will get a wicket.
Right.
You think because he's a barber that he's going to get some more.
So caller, you would have dropped Cummins and who you played instead of Cummins?
Of course. The from the shadow of a doubt.
You said Paul? Yeah, okay, Paul. Okay.
The Shimshan start. Then three.
All right. Well, call it.
I'll tell you what.
No, you continue.
We need a batting coach. If you look at everybody,
we need a batting coach.
Got them the same way all the time. Nobody is playing back to the cross.
Right.
Everybody is trying to hang the batting there.
All right. Well,
what happened with the batting coach? What is the coach saying to these players? Yesterday, you know when he got beat? We get beat because everybody comes there like a T20 or something.
Right.
I don't know whether it was thinking, whether it was in my head. You got to slow down again. You make sense.
Well, caller, thanks for your contribution. That call is all the way from Canada. Right. Let's take another call. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
International.
Hello, welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Good evening. Hi, how are you doing?
I have not heard you in a long time. You've been hiding from me.
Man, I ain't got a friend. You call. You like a lot of talking, right? So, you don't need to talk.
Okay, I'm gonna close my mouth. You speak, sir.
You just get paid to talk, not me.
What do you have to share with us this evening on Mason and Guest?
Let me draw some conclusions here. I don't have a problem with Sri Lanka over here. Because in this test match, I find that, especially in the evening like now, we're resting this bat in a very dodgy part of yesterday. Where the twilight.
Right.
That period in there, I find, to me, they weren't seeing the ball, because I realized the night before they had dropped it was three catches in the slip.
Right.
These guys didn't see any ball. I don't believe that they were seeing the ball.
It's an interesting point you're making, and Roshan, we can about your thoughts on this. Seems when it gets around 6 o'clock, twilight tends to be a little bit more difficult for batting.
Yeah, I think it's right, and sighting the ball was an issue. I'm not sure even whether the umpire sighted it well. So that must be a challenge.
Yeah, definitely. I think that they should really consider taking a break around that time, because scheduling the match in such a way that that's when the break. They can have a break there, because even as a spectator,
you couldn't follow.
It would be somewhere around 45 minutes or so. You couldn't really follow the ball as a spectator. You saw the shot.
You followed the
fielder, but you couldn't see the ball when it was hit at speed. If it was tossed from from one player to the next, just to prepare for.
Right.
For the ball to be bowled, you could see it, but it was very, really
difficult
at that time.
Yes, caller?
Yes, I find that. I did enjoy the series. I think that all four batsmen, I didn't agree with Brian Devin Smith at all. I thought he did that cricket done a long time ago. Plus, I think Sheehan and Chase, these are the two fellas I am counting on to stand in that middle order. They have to go back to the drawing board. All four of them are getting beat with the ball that is coming in.
Well, call it in relation to Chase in the three matches. He batted six times, made 123 runs. Best of 41, average 20. Paul, in the three matches, he played 166. Best of 88, average 27.66. And Hope was disappointed in the series. Three matches, six innings, 114 runs. Best of 44, he averaged only 19. Ooh.
Yes.
What's going on there, caller?
I think they're saying something happening.
They weren't seeing the ball, caller.
I see them playing late on the shot with the ball coming back into the batsman. They were late on the shot all the time.
Yep.
Because the ball was doing a lot.
Right.
I think who stand out for this year is somebody that I like very much, Holder.
Let's look at Holder. He was third in the batting averages. In the three matches, he batted six times all at once, 198 runs, best of 74. He averaged 39.60. And let's look at his bowling. He had a very good all-round series. In the three matches he played, 80 overs and two balls, 26 maidens, 193 runs, he got 12 wickets. So he made, in terms of runs, 198, and he got 12 wickets. He had a good series.
He also took four catches.
And two really good ones in the slips. Pardon me?
Mr. Mason, I tell you already that Holder will never be fast, nor top-line fast, a bowler. He will always be a good seamer and move out the ball when it is there. Nobody can play a Holder when he is bowling like that.
What about his captaincy, caller?
It has improved.
Based on what? Holder is still the same defensive captain as he was 2 or 3 years ago.
So the difference
between me and you, caller, is that I'm going to do a critical analysis of Holder. You see, I'm going to praise him for his batting and his bowling, but if his captaincy is a little defensive, I will say that.
But
you're a spectator. You have interest. I don't.
Well, Mr. Mason. What kind of team that
Why you call him Mr. Mason? Andrew, please.
He's getting annoyed this way.
Yes, my friend.
Well, that type of team, you cannot go attacking all the time. And you know that you've been wrong for it too long.
Andrew goes down with his guns blazing.
The most attacking cricketer captain that we ever had was a man called Vivian Richards.
Really?
And Clive Lloyd. They had the bowlers, they had the fielders, and they had the batsmen. Total all-round team.
Right.
But you got men like Devin Smith can't see the ball coming through slick.
Right.
You got men like Buffett can't see the ball coming through slick.
Right. All right, caller, we got a lot of calls backed up. Of course, it's your evening. You've accused us of not taking as many calls. And this evening, we're going to certainly try and get reaction. We're hoping to speak to Kenny Benjamin and company around the Caribbean. But let's go and take a call before we go to a commercial break. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Good evening. Can I get on the program?
You're very much in the program, Mr. St. Andrew. I know your voice very well.
Any boy can own my voice. I ain't a criminal.
Yes.
Listen.
Yes, sir.
You always talk about you doing critical analysis
yes.
on everybody.
Mm.
But I want some critical analysis done on the commentators.
Yes.
I think the commentary is poor.
Who's this?
I prefer Jamal Smith, who has brought a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
And Kifola, who I think is all right.
Mm.
And
what do you mean by all right?
He does good commentary.
Okay, good. Well, say that then. Well, say that then.
The Beijing Englishman, he's there or thereabout.
Who's this? This is Roland Butcher?
Commentary. Yes, Roland Butcher.
Yeah.
For that, the commentary is poor.
Okay.
The English is atrocious.
That's not true.
I want to need to sit back and look at what I said.
Caller, if you're going to go down that line, I want you to give me one example of poor English.
Especially you, Andrew. Your
give me an example of poor English.
You drop your words. You don't pronounce your words.
Caller, I want you. Don't come on this radio with this foolishness as you do. I'm asking you to give one example of somebody doing the commentary poor. No, I don't want 10. I want one.
But I tell you,
and if you can't give me one, sir, hold on, caller. If you can't give me one, I'm not going to talk to you. Because you fellas come on the radio and make all these accusations, and then when we ask you, you can't come forward. Caller, I'm asking you for one example.
Listen to me.
What, caller? No. I'm not going any further with you. I'm asking you for one example.
You could criticize everybody.
No, caller. One example, otherwise I'm gone.
Well, I give you an example. You let me give you?
Well, please.
Your English is poor, Andrew.
Well, give me one example. Give me one example, caller.
You the most job you was half.
Give me one example, caller.
The phones are lighting up now.
Give me one example, caller.
If you don't, let me... I go on, man.
Okay, thank you very much indeed, man. Don't come on these programs and talk this rubbish. Let's go and take another call. Hello, welcome. Mason and Guest is getting hot.
Good evening.
Good evening to you, my darling.
Hi, how you doing?
Yes.
Hi to you, Dr. Ford, and all your guests.
Hi, good evening, ma'am.
Yeah. And Roshan, our guest from Sri Lanka. What if he's got these calling programs in Sri Lanka like this as well, with all this muscular discussion? Yes, welcome, caller.
Yeah, I was at cricket for the duration of the today.
Yes.
Wow,
The few people that was in the stands today, we thought after there was 5 wickets from yesterday, that we had a chance that we could have pulled off that match.
Mm.
But this has seemed to be such a cool approach
on the
side of the West Indian players.
Mm.
I would like to see those go a more aggressive approach, regardless of what.
Right.
Give it their all.
Because
they could watch other teams and see how they approach things.
Mm.
Sometimes some of these teams, you don't have the chance.
Right.
But work down to any last ball.
Mm.
So what I would like to see from the West Indies player.
Right.
A more aggressive approach.
Right, a more aggressive approach.
Yeah, and I would like to see them get some practice or more training in their batting.
In their batting.
Their batting, they feel miserable in their batting. Well, the Sri Lankans play well, but they are international players. So they need to be able to withstand some of this strong, you understand me?
Yep.
So I would like to see them get some practice.
Right, some practice.
Some practice in their batting. But the bowling was excellent.
The bowling was good, but the batting, you had concerns about the batting.
Everybody got issues. Well, they was able to pull off thanks to Darwin, the captain,
and even Roach.
But talk about the first top thing that just a few runs. Then at the second half, just a few runs again. Well, that needs to be worked on.
All right. Well, caller, I want to thank you because we got lots of calls coming in. And, of course, we got a special guest who would want to, of course, pay some attention now to Sri Lanka. Chandabao Let's take a call before we bring you in. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir.
Mr. Mason.
Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening to you, Mason.
Good evening to you, sir. I'm saying that four times.
Yeah, I can hear you too.
Yes.
I find that you always tend to like to criticize captains, right? because the only cricket that you have a knowledge of, in my opinion, I know.
Yes.
You only have watched cricket.
Okay.
You have never, ever played cricket for nobody, not even primary school cricket, never played.
Okay.
Never.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I respect your judgment sometimes, right?
Right.
But I really call for that. So I would advise you, leave the captaincy alone. Because watching
cricket. So call it, let's walk this through. Is it okay if I comment on the captain's batting?
No, but
hold on. Is it, so it's no or yes? Is it okay if I comment on the captain's batting?
On the captain's what?
Batting.
Batting?
Yes.
No.
I'm asking a question.
If you ask me if it's okay if you
comment on his batting.
Batting?
Yes.
Yeah, you could do you want
is
to.
Is it okay if I comment on the captain's bowling?
Yes, you can
but
do
it's
that.
Not okay if I comment on the captain's captaincy.
Well, you see, there's where you and I can come wrong now, because you see, when you come to coming down to captaincy,
call it strategy,
because when you're dealing with the international side, first of all, there are a lot of things that we on the outside as public tend to criticize. I probably agree that West Indies should not have batted,
right.
But West Indies proved to all and sundry
that
the bat first and the ball to rank of 150.
Right.
We lost the match when we made 93.
Right.
Simple as that. I humbly believe Cummins should not have played.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop should not be inside neither.
Mm-hmm.
Because our batting is very feeble. Because if we got to come down to number six at Shane Dowridge, to bat for us at number six. Because when he bats six, four down.
Mm.
We need more batting than that.
Need more batting.
We need more batting. I commend Shane for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
I commend Jason for batting like that. But you have a lot of flaws at top there. Craig Bathurst, in my opinion, still have a lot of technical flaws.
Let's look at Craig Bathurst, caller, in terms of his contribution in the three matches. He made 104 runs, the best of 15, and averaged 20.80.
He got out like a schoolboy.
Yesterday
he got out like a schoolboy.
Right.
I am saying to you, Craig is better than that. I think he is too. I hear the comment, but where our coach is concerned. How we have so many good batsmen in the Caribbean.
Right.
And we walk around with our foreign dignitaries as our coaches.
No.
We need people to help our young batsmen in this side. Craig Bathurst needs some help.
He needs some
help. Shea Hope doesn't like the short balls.
No.
He was struck under the ribs. And ever since then, he was nervous. Fellow Wallace made a very interesting point where Rawson Chase is concerned. He don't like short balls neither.
No.
So I'm saying to you, there's a problem.
I agree with you that there was an aggression in relation to the Sri Lankan bowling. I mean,
the men run at them and all the time.
Yeah, they did. And they have good bouncy pitches, to bowl on.
The men run at them.
Every time Hope came to bat, their ball shorted him.
Because they don't like short bowling.
Yep.
He tried in St. Lucia, he tried to retaliate by hooking him out for six.
Right.
But again,
when
the men get the balls pitched properly at Shea Hope, he can struggle.
Right.
He's going to struggle. Craig Bathurst, bat away from his body.
Mm.
Too far. He doesn't have a tight defense.
Right.
And when he plays a shot, his bat won't come down straight. He comes down in an arcing from the gully area.
Mm.
He will always get caught. Like how he got caught in the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Coming forward, bat away from his body, ball on his back. He couldn't do nothing about it because he was in no position to control the ball.
Mm.
Right? And the second innings, he pushed the ball straight and for a shot. Like, after seeing it opening batsman, that is rubbish.
That is rubbish.
That's absolutely rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Devin Smith is concerned, Pearson Bavell may don't want Devin to play, but I can say this to you on the panel tonight.
Yeah.
If the criteria is to get in the West Indies side by making runs, he should play. However, you have Bangladesh coming here now.
Mm.
And Bangladesh got no real quicks.
No.
A lot of spinners.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I would like to see the makeup of the side.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, Kemore Paul should be in that side, that player today. Cummins don't play club cricket in Barbados. Cummins don't play club cricket. Cummins should not be playing. Cummins ordinary.
He didn't bowl badly in New Zealand.
But, Andrew, ain't bored by New Zealand.
Mm.
None, but we ain't perform at all in New Zealand because we get Rambo in New Zealand, right?
Wagner.
We get Rambo, right? I'm saying to you, here we have another test series coming up.
Mm.
I would like to see a proper batting. I want to see a batting coach in there to help these young players. These are young men. These are not old men.
Mm-hmm.
They need help.
Mm-hmm.
They need help. You walk more of people from foreign St. Lucia, England and Nigeria, kind of place, coaching with people. That's a joke.
Okay, Colin, well, I want to thank you very much indeed because I know Roshan has got to rush off very soon. I believe he's got a. You don't have a hot date, do you, Roshan?
I got a meeting.
he's got a meeting. So we're going to do a wrap now. I know that people want to talk. You can't say it all, can you? But do you have these kind of calling programs in?
Yeah, we do.
Robust discussion?
Yes, sometimes.
Indeed. All right, just before you go, though, let's spend some attention now quickly on Sri Lanka. We had your captain, Chandamal. He played in two matches. We're going to ask you quickly about him.
Hmm.
229 runs, 119 not out, 76. Pereira was in there as well with two matches, 57. And in terms of your bowling, we saw Rajita making his test debut, two wickets. Let's look at Kumar. Got 70 wickets. I thought he well. Latma was a good partner for him. He picked up 12 wickets as well. Your assessment?
I think the Sri Lankan batting, particularly Kusal Mendis and Chandimal, was good because they showed good technique and they also showed a lot of character and courage. They were good against the short ball. They were lining themselves up quite well. But if you look at the rest of the batting, I thought they flinched a little bit.
They flinched.
Starting from the first test match when Angelo Matthews got hit on the helmet late on day two. You know, from that point onwards with Gabriel bending his back and being aggressive and being at you, it was something new. And also the bounce of the ball where the Sri Lankan batsmen struggled to cope. You could see certain batsmen, the way they played, you could clearly say that they were used to a lower bounce and they were struggling with the high bouncing deliveries. They were struggling to weave and move out of the way. So that was an issue. And middle order will have to, even particularly when they're up against, pitchers like this, when they're to Australia, shall we say, New Zealand, maybe when they come to these parts, they're different. I mean, if you play back in the subcontinent, it's very different, where it's low and slow, it turns, and they're more batting friendly.
Right.
Now, in terms of bowling, I always believe that Lahiru Kumar, who's only 22, is one of the most exciting prospects that Sri Lanka have found.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's someone who can consistently bowl close to 90 miles an hour delivery.
Mm-hmm. So,
and Lakmal is maturing. I thought he's a perfect spearhead. He bowled with good control. He was solid. He asked a lot of questions and he was steady. And Kasun Rajitha, well, he surprised me. And he's been a positive, yes.
Indeed. And what about your captain, Chandamal, now? Is he in trouble?
No, I mean, he's already served his ban.
Mm-hmm.
So he,
But would there be any implications back home, you think? Or you don't think
well,
so?
Well, that is to be seen.
What do you think?
I doubt very much because he's already served. Because, there are questions that one could ask about the decision of the umpires, which I don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, I'm not taking anything away from the fact that the umpires exercised their authority.
Mm-hmm.
And there was doubt. And the match referee had to go on the available evidence, which I agree. But I have a few questions beyond that. But then I don't think it's the forum now because it's all done and dusted. He served his punishment. So I don't know whether I need to go there. So it all depends on how Sri Lanka cricket will look at it. Maybe a ban, not a ban, maybe a fine or something could be slapped.
Mm.
But I don't think he'll be banned, that's for sure.
No. Yeah. So you expect him to continue in the future as captain?
Well, he'll be warned. He'll be told in the strictest way that, you know, upholding the good name of the country, himself, and the game is important.
Mm.
And if he's really found to be wrong, you know, beyond reasonable doubt, which has been contested and which was contested, then I don't know. But there could be. But I don't think he will face a ban.
What about the future of Haraf?
Well, I can't see him going for too far, too long, you know. I get this feeling that he may call it a day at the end of the year when he plays England at home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I see. Interesting. Well, I want to thank you. It's a pity we couldn't have you until 8 o'clock.
I
know you've got a meeting. You said a meeting, huh?
Yes.
Okay, fine, a meeting. Yes. All right, well, I want to thank you.
And you don't have to be cynical about it. A meeting, it is a meeting.
It is.
Legitimate.
A very legitimate
meeting. Any final words? You've enjoyed the Caribbean?
Very much so. And as I said, in parting, I must say that I might be a bit emotional when I leave because, you know, I'm honestly very sad because, you know, it has been such fond memories to carry home with me.
Right.
And, you know, I would love to come back.
Right.
And to everyone listening, thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a little bit of work with you guys on radio.
Yeah, and you found it enjoyable.
I enjoyed it. And thank you for listening to us on television. Mm-hmm. And thank you for all the support. I hope we can come back one day. Sooner rather than later.
All right. Thank you for coming through, Roshan Amazon. We're going to pause for business calls. We're going to continue to take our calls and hopefully make some connections across the region. 4341790 if you're calling from overseas. Of course, it's 1246 in front. You can give us a call and participate in the discussion. It's been very interesting so far, and people have expressed some concerns about the batting of the West Indies side. Some positives, of course. Dowridge was good, 288. I thought Holder had a very good series with bat and ball. I thought Gabriel was absolutely brilliant. Stayed fit. Roach was thereabouts. Of course, I thought he did well with 11 wickets. Bishu didn't. Only bowl one over in this match. But generally, I would say that the batting would have been disappointing, Pearson, as we certainly take some more calls. When we do an assessment, Pearson, let's start in terms of someone like Rustin Chase. What was he doing wrong?
Well, I think that he was first moving around the crease too much, in my opinion. I think that he needs to get his balance right. I don't find that he is decisive in his movement at the crease. He's a tall player, and naturally he has to make a decision as to whether or not he wants to be a back foot player or front foot player. I found that too often he's caught in a very indecisive mood. He's neither forward or back, and he has to take, I believe, the advice of Philo Wallace last week when he said that he uses a short blade bat. For a tall person, it means that he has to crouch over the blade that he uses, and maybe if he can perhaps make that adjustment by going in the nets and at least trying a longer blade, it would probably lend some more balance to him at the crease in terms of his foot movement and so on. Apart from that, I believe he's not watching the ball directly onto the bat. He appears to be watching the flight of the ball, the line of the ball, but then there's that, what you normally would call in science, the parallax error, that he would, it will come to bear on him because he probably has a situation where he's not looking in terms of both of his eyes. They're not equidistant from the stumps at the bowler's end. Mm-hmm. So he needs to turn, this is just my opinion, turn his head a bit around to face directly in line with the stumps at the bowler's end so that he's not looking out of one and a half eye, so to speak. And then I think that movement at the crease will be much reduced. But he has the ability to make runs at the higher level. I mean, we've seen this before. He's been successful in the past. He's been found wanting in on some occasions. But young player, I listened with interest as one of the callers suggested that we need a batting coach. And I remember the interview that Shane Dowridge had done after the first test. He attributed his success to the guidance of Floyd Reefer in making some technical adjustments to him in terms of his batting, where his head position was and things like that. And these are fine points. They're very technical areas of batsmanship, but they make a big difference, especially when you're playing at a higher level and your technique can be exposed by all of the technology. And I remember one of the things that Sir Garfish Sobers has done with a coaching clinic in the park years ago. I mean, as schoolboys back then. And he always thought about one of the first things in terms of batting at the crease was to get your head perfectly still and get both eyes looking down the pitch so that if you draw a string from both eyes and it touches the stumps, both strings will be the same distance when you cut them. So what I find sometimes is that players have their head positioned at point and looking, you know, down the pitch, but they're not looking through both eyes at the same time simultaneously. I don't know. The doctor for you.
Yeah, parallax
error.
Is a big thing.
Yeah, so you so the parallax error. But I mean, I don't know what you would have thought, because I think you would have followed the interest, the Chase and Dowers, especially.
Yeah, I did watch Chase a lot. He got caught in the slips off the back foot trying to hit the ball on the up.
Yeah,
quite a few times, and then he either inside edged or got bowled through the gate. So. Mm. So definitely, as far as the latter is concerned, inside edging and getting bowled, I think he definitely wasn't watching the ball onto the bat. And the bat foot dismissals, he does have some work to do. But we know of his quality. And the truth is, 54 for 5, 14 for 5. I know that the top five, they're much better than those products that they showed us at Kensington. I think they just have to go back to the basics and to apply themselves. But, you know, I am extremely pleased with these bouncy surfaces. I think that for over 20 years or so, or probably for less, we have been playing to our strengths with a lot of slow, low pitches. And I don't think we've produced cricketers that can perform all over the world. I think we have to bite the bullet. We have a youngish group, and if they're going to get accustomed to the bouncy wickets, I don't think there's a problem with them having to deal with that at home, because we want them to perform in South Africa. We want them to perform in the UK and in New Zealand. And it's better for their development to have this experience right here. So I don't really believe in the batting paradises and these other methods just to win a match, because it will not help their development at all.
I agree with you. As we go to a call, I imagine Philander bowling on that pitch. And I just could imagine Philander bowling and not putting on the ball.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Yes. Producer, do we have any calls online?
No.
Yeah? Can we take a call?
Yes.
Yeah? Can we go to a call? Hello, good evening. Welcome.
Yeah, good evening. I want to make a comment there on the cricket.
Yeah, go on, sir.
Yeah, the West Indies A team is doing pretty well in England. I think they lost the last two matches that they played, but before that they were winning games. Got some players down there scoring some runs like Jason Mohammed and Jermaine Blackwood to begin with. They believe that those players can get a look in now for upcoming series. And some others that are down there doing well.
Yeah, well, the thing is that there's no person that's going ahead of the pack. I believe that anyone you choose would, you know, you can argue with them. But I don't believe we will see wholesale changes and the upcoming series against Bangladesh. I believe the top of the order, the opening position, will be the one that we will have to look at. And neither of the two players that you mentioned are opening batsmen, by the way. But I think that we just need to do what some of our callers have said this evening. We need to look at having a structured format for coaching. If you're going to employ, like some of the teams have a batting coach, we have a bowling coach now in Corey Collymore. And maybe there's a call for a batting coach now, a specific person who deals with batting primarily. And it is interesting that most of these young players in the Caribbean seem to have a certain amount of success with the young coach by the name of Floyd Reefer. And that might be instructive, because I believe he would have been playing with them only up to a few years ago, playing for the CCC.
Well, he's connected to
and
them,
he's connected,
so,
right.
So are they listening more to Floyd? But, you know, they do get
also
many, many exposures to coaches. Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, go on.
Also, we got to get some fast bowlers who has some speed, man. Maybe look at Cummins. Cummins look very ordinary. Look like a medium pace as well.
I believe, this is just my belief. Before the series, I had questioned the chairman of selectors on air when we had him online about Cummins' fitness. And I think we also asked Graham West, I believe it was, about his fitness. I mean, remember he's coming back from injury, as was Azar Joseph. There were about three players coming back from injury. And I I thought then, and I still, I'm of the same opinion that Cummins does not look fit. Yes, he's not express, but he bowls with a bit more zip than that, than what we saw. Cummins is not an express bowler, but he hits the deck a little bit more than we saw in this series, and I don't think his fitness levels are at optimal at this stage.
What was the position on Alzai Joseph?
Well, when we last spoke to, I think, was it Graham West?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he said that Alzai was coming through pretty well, mm-hmm. but you have to nurse him, you have to bring him mm-hmm. back by, you know, mm-hmm. getting him, because he has to remodel his action, mm-hmm. and it would be a matter of getting familiarity with that action in mm-hmm. terms of repetition. He mm-hmm. has to go through the repetition of, mm-hmm. you know, producing that action consistently, and then they will see if he comes through that, if mm. you can nurse him back into cricket. Mm. He's probably one that should probably mm. go in the A-team anyway mm. and build from there.
And young Shamar Holder, he seems to be the quickest of the young, the really young ones coming through right now.
Yeah, there are others. There's Thomas from Jamaica there. You know, they're all about...
Keon Harding from here as well.
Yeah, they're all guys that seem to be...
Keon Harding and there's one, two others as well.
Yeah, they're all guys that seem to be hitting around 85, but they can all bowl faster if given the right coaching and adjust their techniques.
A young selection, Marston, right. We got to definitely look at him. A young, highly young, talented, and promising all-rounder.
Oh, Shamar Spring. Yeah, but they're a lot.
If he could get his batting, it's pretty good at his age, you know?
Mm. Yeah, recall there are a lot of young players throughout the Caribbean. I mean, we would know about the ones in Barbados, but trust me, there are a lot of potentially young, good, gifted cricketers throughout the Caribbean, but we need to put a program to
If he could get Shamar spray balling a bit quicker, though, you know?
Yeah,
I believe quicker. As time goes on, he would get quicker as well.
Right. All right, thanks for your contribution, caller. Thanks.
His batting is good and his feeling is pretty good too.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, caller. We got a lot of calls coming through. Let's go and talk to the former West Indies all-rounder, Ian Bradshaw. Hello, good evening to you, Ian.
Hi, good evening, Andrew.
Good.
Good
nice to hear
all
you.
There.
All right, good. Okay, your assessment of the series. The West Indies won the first test match in Trinidad and Tobago, drawn game in St. Lucia. The Sri Lankans fought back. And they won the test match in Barbados. You think that was a fair result?
Yes, I think it was a fair result. I think we had a contest between two teams who were not particularly strong, if you look at the context of world cricket, and two teams who are trying to establish themselves as one of the teams that can hopefully compete with some of the bigger teams in years to come. But certainly there was a lot of inconsistency on both sides. The batting wasn't particularly great in the series, and you saw by the scores that were put out. I think you saw some strong bowling performances. The services that were produced allowed the fast bowlers to come through a lot more than you might have seen in series in the past in the Caribbean. And actually, it made for more interesting series. Where that was concerned. And it did show up the fact, although we knew this before, that it's important that we have far more varied and balanced services in the Caribbean so that our players can be better prepared, because we are certainly exposed when there's a bit of bounce and a bit of seam around.
Now, let's do an assessment of the pitches from the Queen's Park Oval. You would have played there before. Lots of bounce. We know what's happening in St. Lucia and in Barbados. Your assessment of the pitches?
Well, I could only go on reports, Andrew, because I didn't see a lot of the cricket. It wasn't televised and so forth. But from reports, the pitches seem to offer assistance to the Pacers. Even in Trinidad, they seem to be a bit there for the Pacers to work with. In St. Lucia, we know it was pretty hard surface, so there was some bounce there. And in Barbados, under the day and night conditions, there was plenty of grass to go along with some pace. So as I said before, it allowed the fast bowlers to come through a lot more in this series. It showed up in terms of our batting, that we are still not very technically competent to deal with some of these surfaces. And that is a result of the fact that we play on the completely opposite in the first class season. So if we can have these pitches here in the Caribbean for international games, it would only make sense that we ensure that our curators do the same thing when you come to your regional tournaments.
I think that's a very good point you're making, because it makes no sense, you know, having these pitches with bunks, and then when you go back to your regional competition, then, you know, it's completely different. Now, let's look at some of the performances of the West Indies. We saw Doherty was actually player of the series, 288 runs, the best of 125. I thought he batted extremely well. And then we'll also look at Gabriel, 20 wickets in 3 test matches. Good performances.
Well, Gabriel was outstanding, and I'm happy to see that here's a guy who's been around West Indies cricket for a bit and is moving forward, because I've always said that if you're exposed to international cricket for a period of time, unless you are not very good, you should improve. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Gabriel is a strong guy, very, very committed in his approach. But technically, obviously, over the years, he had his challenges. But you can see now he's a lot more balanced in his run-up, a lot more consistent at the crease in terms of his positioning. Mm-hmm. And all of that leads to the fact that the result down at the other end will be far better. And I think you're seeing that from Gabriel. And I can only put it down to hard work. Physically, he looks a lot more limber. You know, he's a little stocky before and a little rigid, but you can see in his movements, not just in his bowling, but in his fielding as well. He's worked on that area. And all that has contributed to him being far more consistent in this series and getting some success. What we want to see from Gabriel now is for him to back that up now in another series, because sometimes, quite often, you get a good series, but you don't back it up. Mm-hmm. So we want to see Gabriel now building on this success. As you said, Shane Dorrich, he had a strong series with the bat, and I think to some extent too, it helped with his keeping. Although there's still some work to be done there. He spoke of the help he got with working, I think you said he worked with Floyd in particular. So you got to commend Floyd for the work that he put in. And it's good to see West Indian coaches getting some credit, because I think we have a lot of talented coaches here in the region. We just need to give them a chance and do it in a manner that they can work for our peers for an extended period of time. So well done to Dorrich in this series. He got some scores. Still want to see him back that up. And so quite often I said, just like with Gabriel, one series good and then go off the boil, it will not carry West Indies cricket forward. So we have to see him backing it up. And while we can speak of those good performances, we also have to speak of performances that weren't so strong. Our top order batsmen, even though the pitches were not the easiest to bat on, the reality is that if you're going to play international cricket, you got to at least get at least 2 or 3 scores, even when the wickets are difficult. And I think a 1 score in a series where you bat probably 6 times just is not good enough. And we'll have to take a hard look at our top order in particular. Devon, he came back. I might have said in the show before, I wasn't one to say go with Devon Smith in the past, but I commend him for all his work, and I commend his letters for rewarding Devon as well. I don't think that they necessarily will discard him right away, because having given him a chance and acknowledging that the services were as they were, they may consider letting him have another run in the upcoming series, especially by the fact that I don't think that a lot of the other players from the other territories in terms of top order batsmen have already put up their hand. So it's something that is a bit of a concern, and it may allow Devon to get another chance. But certainly between him and Powell at 3, they are far too inconsistent.
So, Ian, you're saying that you would give Devon Smith another chance. You're playing against Bangladesh. The first test match is scheduled for the Sir Vivian Richards Stadium on July the 4th. You'll play Devon Smith.
I would give Devon Smith the opportunity to play again, because mm-hmm. really true, it doesn't make sense to bring him back. Mm-hmm. Acknowledge that he's played on the services, and without putting anything in place to bring forward any new batsmen, I mm-hmm. don't know if there are any players who we've put on standby and we are preparing mm-hmm. that they can fit in mm-hmm. one time. That is a concern to me.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said before, too, it is not just those top orders. I want to see Shea Hope mm-hmm. Once again build on his performances. Started with a nice 20 or 30 odd,
mm-hmm.
but if he is going to be our premier middle order batsman,
mm-hmm.
we got to see him
mm-hmm.
fighting through some of those tough periods, especially when he comes out in a bit of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see Shea Hope really establishing himself as a link spin in our middle order.
Ian, were you surprised at his failures when you look at it? Three matches, six innings, 114 runs, 44 is best, and the average in this series is disappointing, 19.
This is Shea?
Yes.
This is Shea Hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say that I am not surprised when a lot of our players struggle when the wickets are as they are. Mm. That's the truth. We have Craig as well. He's one of our more consistent players. He didn't have a very good series.
104 runs, 59, average 20.80.
Precisely. So it is the fact that I think often enough they don't get opportunity to play on these surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
until we do that, mm-hmm. then we will always have situations where our players are exposed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what services will be paired when we play against Bangladesh. The Savivian Richard Stadium is typically one that is pretty batter-friendly, if I remember correctly. So I don't know if they'll be able to get some confidence there. But it will be a challenge for those guys if they want to carry West Indies cricket forward. And if they want to finish their career with averages that people can mark them as some of the better players that have come over this region, they'll have to do some work to score some runs on these services as well. You can always score 100 when the wicket is flat,
mm-hmm.
but it's when the team's in trouble and there's something in it for the bowlers that you're measured by as a batsman.
Now, in terms of the bowling now, we spoke of the good work of Gabriel. I thought Roach was good again. He picked up 11 wickets from the three matches. But Miguel Cummins, he bowled 77 overs and 4 balls, 21 maidens, 221 runs, and only got 3 wickets. Did that disappoint you?
I thought that for what I saw, especially what I saw in this game here when I watched, I think Miguel bowled a lot of heart,
mm-hmm.
but he's bowling maybe a foot too short.
Okay.
So he's not challenged. He's challenging the edge for balls that are bouncing outside the outside if the guy's going to spar at it, and that may happen here in first class cricket.
Mm-hmm.
But in international cricket, and you're going to just bowl back a length consistently like that, you're not bringing LBW or bowl into mm-hmm. play.
Mm-hmm.
So you're limiting your wicket taking options. And I think that is something that he'll have to work on in mm-hmm. the next. It's not easy to adjust your length because bowlers tend to have what you call your natural length.
Mm-hmm.
But if he wants to be a little more effective,
mm-hmm.
I think Miguel probably has to just come a foot fuller,
mm-hmm.
And it will give him a lot more wicket-taking opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
He is bowling some very good balls,
mm-hmm.
but when you bowl good balls, that guys just have that fraction just to get the battle with
mm-hmm.
it just looks pretty.
Mm-hmm. Now, before you go, this series is over now. The players don't get any rest, really. We've got 2 test matches against Bangladesh. Then in terms of one days, I see here 1, 2, 3 one days. Then there's also a situation where you're going to be playing a couple of T20 matches. West Indies versus Bangladesh. You think the West Indies will beat Bangladesh?
I expect West Indies to beat Bangladesh. If the surfaces that we prepare,
mm-hmm.
Having some assistance for our fast bowlers. We are picking a team with 4 fast bowlers in it. So it doesn't make sense to have services that will not assist those fast bowlers.
Mm.
Can that be produced at the venues that we're going at? Mm. I can't say from a distance.
Mm.
But if we can, and we can produce some wickets that will assist our fast bowlers, that will be useful. We know Bangladesh, they have a lot of talented spinners
mm.
and so forth. So it would make sense to have services that would go against our current strengths. Mm.
Someone on WhatsApp saying, stop making excuses for Cummins. He is very poor. 11 tests, 21 wickets, 9 in one game. That's a wicket per match. Very poor. Cornwall should come in for Bishu as well. How do you respond to that, Ian?
Well, I mean, listen, if you look at a lot of guys when they start their career, the averages don't always be outstanding. You know, you take time to settle. Cummins, while he might have been around the squad for a little bit, I don't think that he's played consistently. And he is trying to find his way in international cricket. Mm. There will be instances where we would not be able to play four fast bowlers, and Cummins will lose out. Maybe if the services aren't conducive, you may find that we are having an extra spinner in the lineup. So it is good with Jason as he's playing right now, batting strong. He offers us a bit more balance. So it's creating an opportunity for someone like Miguel. And as I said before, I don't think, from what I saw, that he is bowling very bad. But obviously, his lens to limit his wicket opportunities. He's not going around the park. So he's building some sort of pressure. But we want him to get some scalps in that wicket column. As far as Bishu is concerned, I think I have a lot of time for Bishu, because when the services are conducive for spin, I think that Bishu does his role effectively. So there is a space in my team for Bishu. And if the Cornwall is going to come into the picture, maybe he can come into the picture, as you said, on services which may not be as fast bowler friendly, and he may replace someone like a Cummins.
All right. Well, Ian, thanks very much, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you so much.
All right. Okay, can we go back and take some calls? We can. Hello, welcome, Mr. and the guests.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening to you.
Yes. Mr. Mason, Dr. Ford, others on the panel, good evening.
Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening.
Calling from Trinidad.
Oh, good. Nice to hear you from Trinidad.
That news I have to bring to you, that the third vice president of the Trinidad and Tobago Cricket Association, he was cremated today.
Oh, dear.
This is Patrick Rampersad.
Oh, dear.
Yes. But the reason why it is most sad is that Patrick was the chairman, the manager, chief cook and bottle washer of the Merry Boys Cricket Club. The main club that challenges Queen's Park for the titles. Just to give a few names, Riyad Emrit, Lincoln Roberts, Lendell Simmons, were some of the prominent Trinidad and Tobago players that played for Merry Boys. And a few years ago, we had the privilege of having Ashley Nurse play for us for a season. And Ashley, a wonderful young man, he helped train the younger boys in the game. And the question I'll have to ask you, Mr. Mason, and I must say, first of all, from halfway tree in Jamaica to Broad Street in Guyana, I've never heard you use the vernacular when you did your commentary, sir. So I don't know where that caller got his facts from.
You know,
if you were willing to use the vernacular often, I would not be calling you from Trinidad and putting expense up. Doing so at great expense to myself. But what is sad is that Patrick carried the Merry Boys Club side on his back. And when he went up to the cricket executive in Trinidad, he sacrificed himself to his family to make cricket better in Trinidad. And the question I have to ask you, sir, are there similar situations in Barbados where clubs, especially in the areas of St. George, St. John, St. Lucie, and out of the Bridgetown area, away from the Bridgetown area, are there situations where it's a one-man operation, that if that one man should decide to say, I'm not getting involved in cricket anymore, I'm going to retire, that we could see the demise of that organization?
Yeah. In fact, it's a very good point you're making. There's some clubs that depend almost exclusively on one or two people. Club life is not as strong as it used to be. In fact, my club, St. Catharines, my cousin Norman Mason has been the secretary for about 25 million years now. You got people like Thelston Payne, and you begin to wonder if a Ryle Stewart is no longer at St. Catharines, you got a good president, what would happen? And there are some clubs across the island that, you know, you would have one or two names attached to these clubs for quite a long time. So you're right, club life is not as strong as it used to be.
And this is sad, and this is part and parcel of why West Indies cricket is failing. Mm-hmm. Because the thing about it with Merry Boys here in Trinidad, it's a community-based group mm-hmm. for the area of Diego Martin.
Oh, Diego Martin, just, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, which is northwest of Port of Spain. Mm-hmm. And the schoolboys that come out from the various schools in the area, people mm-hmm. who live in within the community, mm-hmm. that's their opportunity because we do not qualify to play for the Queen's Park, if you know what I mean, whisper, mm-hmm. whisper, nudge. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is that if there wasn't a Merry Boys, like I said, Riyad Emirat, Lendell Simmons, Lincoln Roberts, these guys would have never had a look in. Mm-hmm. And this is where these guys got their start. And I'm sure in Grenada, St. Vincent, St. Lucia, Guyana, and as you have mentioned, in Barbados, if it weren't for these community-based clubs, many people will not get the chance to see the light of day in cricket in the West Indies, mm-hmm. far less for their native country. Mm-hmm. And I think this has to be addressed by the West Indies Cricket Board, because a sad and unfortunate thing is that I'm sitting down here in my home here in Trinidad, and I'm seeing a kangaroo jumping around a football field in Australia. I've seen Argentina put one in on Nigeria today. Mm-hmm. And at no time I saw nothing of West Indies playing Sri Lanka in Barbados.
Pearson, who's in the studios, he's commenting on that. In fact, I was here busy trying to get Sunil Ramdeen, who was the representative for Sandals. It's something that I think that they've got to explain because there was an absence of coverage, Dr. Ford.
Yeah, it was unfortunate, and you had to go to great lengths and
to
see it online. And you know, not everybody has those facilities, but it would also have been instructive and good for the population to see the exciting cricket that took place during the series.
All the test matches were exciting.
But that's the sad thing. For me to see the one in Trinidad, I had to take my family to go to see it. Mm. And that's the last time I spoke to Mr. Rampersad, and the last thing he told me was to call me because I said that, similar to the Premier League in football in England, there should be an under-19 Premier League tournament for cricket clubs, where the under-19s or under-15s should play amongst themselves so the youth have a chance of playing cricket at the highest level here in Trinidad. And the last thing he said, because he spoke to me in the capacity of the third vice president, is to just say, call me. And unfortunately, I never got the chance because he passed on.
Sir, going back to the point that you made about one person being the chief cook and bottle washer for clubs, in Barbados, we have the structure of what it's called, I should say. I almost say was because it's a dying thing. The Barbados Cricket League, which was a feeder ground for most of the cricketers that came through the areas in the rural Barbados. Mm-hmm. And they had presidents, long-standing presidents over the years, all right? And once those presidents resigned or some of them passed away, then you saw gradually the Barbados Cricket League started to suffer from administration in that area. And now to the extent where they're not as strong as they used to be, but it used to be the embryonic stage of cricket in terms of the rural cricket in Barbados. And that is basically not, you still have the Barbados Cricket League, but it's not as vibrant as it was before.
And gentlemen, if I may interrupt, I am from Trinidad. Mm-hmm. And whether I go as far north as St. Vincent or down south to Guyana, there's an old saying. West Indies cricket is as strong as Barbados cricket.
And if
Barbados cricket is weak, I don't have to say anything further on the matter.
I want to thank you for coming through and talking. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. And I really need to get your contact. I should really have your contact so the next time I go to Trinidad, we can have a roti together. All right. Thanks for your contribution. Can we go and take a... I think we got Jamal Smith in the line, who was very much a part of the commentary team. Good evening to you, Jamal. How are you?
Hi, good evening, Andrew. How are you?
Okay, fine. First of all, you've been getting some good comments. Dr. Ford, Jamal is on the line. You want to say hello to Jamal? Do you know him at all?
No, I don't know Jamal, but...
well, if you see him, he's extremely tall.
A.K.A. Burke.
So, Jamal, this was just a one-off thing, or do you have an interest in being being with the microphone?
Well, you don't have to ask Andrew about that, but I contribute wherever I can, so I would say I'm fluid, so it doesn't really matter.
How was the experience, in your view?
It was a good experience. I'm obviously watching the test match from up high and live, Andrew, from your vantage point.
Mm.
And I got appreciation for the art, actually, of commentary, especially ball by ball. I must say kudos to all guys for maintaining concentration and whatnot.
Mm.
And, you know, it was generally overall a good experience. The camaraderie in the box and whatnot, the entire dynamics, you know, it's a different world. And I'm a guy that tries to be intuitive in terms of, you know, perceiving what's going on. And I like the dynamics.
Yeah, hi, good evening, Pierre Simbaba here. I was telling Andrew today that you did an outstanding job. It was easy on the ear and very articulate, and that was very good for someone making a debut.
That was tight for that, man.
Yeah, and I will listen to, put it this way, I can listen to you all day. Right?
Okay. Thanks for that.
You know, and that is great that we have someone with your talent. I know about your talent on the cricket field. But in terms of your articulation and the knowledge that you brought to bear live and on the spot, and as it was moving, as the game was in its fluidity, you know, you were just on the ball. And that was great. I first heard you, I believe, on the Saturday Sports program, you know, when you were interviewed then.
And, yes.
And that is where I got this understanding that you had this ability to really articulate in terms of cricket. I was telling Andrew today, there's a young guy called Shame Holder, I hope I don't pronounce it. Another person who also, when Spartan had a game washed up recently, they had him on the line for most of the afternoon. Another outstanding person in terms of articulation. So I want to give kudos to you, young players in Barbados that are still enjoying the club life, for contributing also off the field.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks a lot. Muchly appreciated.
No, in terms of the cricket, no. Were you disappointed with the West Indies showing in this test match in Barbados?
Well, I'm disappointed from the point of view that, you know, as a West Indian, you would have loved to see them come up with a series victory, especially against a Sri Lankan side that one can say is developing. I'm obviously with the guys that are with West Indies actually having more test experience, man for man, than the other team at home. You know, one would have hoped that the West Indies would have come out on top, especially in this game.
So where do you think, Jamal, the West Indies went wrong?
But to be honest, Andrew, you know, from the toss, we were speculating and saying that we reckon that Captain Holder should have batted first. But having said that, they kind of justified it with bowling out Sri Lanka for 152. I don't think it could get much better than that.
Mm-hmm.
I think where we fell down terribly, which everybody knows is a no-brainer, is our second innings batting. It was atrocious, some of the shot selection especially. I know the pitch, you know, there was a lot of lateral movement and the toilet factor as well, but, you know, the application was not there. And then secondly, you know, I didn't get a sense from the beginning in it, the tempo of the innings. They didn't try to, like, you know, put themselves in the ascendancy. They allowed the Sri Lankans to bowl at them, and the rest is history.
Now, going into the last day, 144 runs to get to win, Sri Lanka were 81 for 5. You felt the West Indies could have won it still?
Yes, I still felt they had an outside chance. Honestly, I believe the shower last night that stopped the West Indies from getting, say, an extra 40 minutes under the night sky, especially with Jason Holder in such a beautiful spell. I mean, it was magnificent to watch him running away from the commentary box and getting the movement that he was getting. I thought that moment, you know, those 40 minutes past where we could have probably prized out another wicket, is what really cost us when I look back on how the game flowed, because it was a lower scoring game.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Now, let's look at some of the performances. We know Dowridge, 288, he batted extremely well, 125, average 57.60. And Shannon Gabriel was top of the stack, 20 wickets in the three matches, 299 runs, he bowled 88 overs and four balls. But there was some disappointment in the batting. You look at someone like a Powell making just 166 runs, 88, highest 27.66. In the three matches that Brathwaite played, he got 104 runs, 59 not on his best, average 20.80. Roston Chase, three matches, 123, average 20. Hope, or Big Bat, in the three matches he played, 114 runs, highest of 44, and he only averaged 19. You must be disappointed.
Yes, our top order batting, as the stats have shown, is not where it should be. The guys are not consistent. And that's a major issue right now, Andrew, to be honest. I must say, though, in the same breath that the bowlers figured, especially for the fast bowlers, they think they collected some 46 wickets in the series. Obviously, Shannon Gabriel leading the way with 20, and Jason Holder 12, and Kumar Roach 11, if I'm not mistaken.
That was actually our best performance
in 10 years from a fast bowling perspective. And it's obviously good to see that we have a quartet, if we can say that. Of fast bowlers that are able to get international batsmen up. So that's the positive, but the batting, the top part of batting, it leaves a lot to be desired. Most of these guys started the series averaging in the mid to lower 30s, and some of them probably know are going to be obviously in the bottom half of the 20s, which means they're not consistent, and that's very difficult to take.
Would you play Devon Smith against the Bangladesh side?
To be honest with you, based on the reserves, you know, I was asked this question in the box, and I still am asking the question. Who do we have to replace Devon Smith? That's my question. That's the only way I can
Doctor
answer.
Dr. Ford
question.
Has got a response for you, Doctor.
What about Powell returning to open and Hetmeyer being given a chance?
Well, if it's a rebellion side and it's youth is the way they're going, I mean, nothing is wrong with that. But having said that, Powell is an experienced guy, but no, and I find he's not giving the West Indies enough as well. So I don't know, I guess it's almost like we're giving him a free pass. You know, he's very nonchalant about what he does, especially even in his slip cordon.
Yes.
I don't know. If we're giving him a free pass, and we're giving Devon a hard time. And I'm one that I don't necessarily look at the age differences. If a guy is good enough to be there, if he's performed good enough to be there, he should be there. So my thing is, I thought the innings where Devon made 61, he went off some 5 or 6 times the break. I thought that was the break to innings for him in terms of getting a bigger score, but it just wasn't to be.
But Jamal, I think the name that the selectors were obviously looking at would have been John Campbell, because he played in the tour game. And it meant to me, he came out of the A team as well. It was saying to me that they were giving him an opportunity to put his hands up and see if he could have made a breakthrough into the team. But that did not work out, because his performance was just, average. So he didn't...
Average.
Right. So again, I go back to your question as to who will replace Devon Smith. I believe that we should revert to Powell.
Okay, well, fair enough. But as I said, I still think we're giving Paul a bit of a free pass if you look at it in totality. There's another name that I like to throw in the ring. The guy from Guyana, Leon Johnson. I still really don't know what he has done wrong.
What has he done right, really? That's the question.
But again,
Leon doesn't look good against a short ball, and he really hasn't produced. He isn't an opener or number three either. He's really a batsman lower down the order, and a few years have gone by, and this is the thing about a Devon Smith. You know, you've seen a guy over 14 years, he makes runs, you see him at the international level, it just doesn't click. And I think that just having him to play now, the risk benefit ratio is so high that, you know, even if we were to get a good year out of him, you know, you have to wonder, are we just kicking a can down the road to disappoint Devon one more time? I think that you know, the contribution at the regional level is something that we all respect and admire, and that's, if that's his niche, I think we should allow him to nurture and to give him a role there to do what he should do. But if we were to move forward and to go further, I don't think it it makes any sense going backwards. So I think we have to look forward now if we're going to fill spaces in the team.
You agree with that?
That's a fair point. That's a fair assessment. I love it, actually. That's a fair assessment.
Indeed. Well, before you go, what about Miguel Cummins? Let's look at his stats. 77 overs and 4 balls, 21 maidens, 221 runs, 3 wickets. Is he in trouble in relation to Bangladesh?
To be honest with you, I would stick it out with Miguel for the Bangladesh series. Simply because he's had a bit of bad luck, as some people have been saying. I've seen it myself, it's missed chances. And he has a good turn of pace, and I just think that he needs to get his lines right. I just think he needs to get it together. He has a good turn of pace. He bowls some hostile balls. I just think he's not consistent enough, but I wouldn't throw him out of the side just yet.
Right. Thanks to you, Jamal Smith, for coming through and talking to us. He was very much a part of the beat. Thanks to the beat for bringing the broadcast as well. I thought we had a good time. And of course, the man here, Ronnie Clark, is saying he enjoyed it very much indeed. We weren't able to make those links across the Caribbean. We hope we'll be able to make them sometime this week. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a brighter tomorrow. It's good night.